Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like for us to look this morning at Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at a subject that I believe is very important for all men and women to see, but especially those who claim to be believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here in Mark chapter 10, our Lord told his disciples about the things that would happen to him when they got to Jerusalem. He told them that he was going to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of the Romans. And he told his disciples that they were going to mock him and scourge him and spit on him and ultimately kill him. And then he told them the third day he was going to rise again. He said, I'm going to rise victoriously. I'm going to rise as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when James and John heard him say that, verse 35 says, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him. And over in Matthew's account, it says their mother came with them. All three of them came to him. And they said, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And I'll tell you, that was their first mistake. They said, we have something that we want you to do for us. Instead of saying, not our will, but thine be done. That's what they should have said. That's how every man and woman should approach the Holy God. But they didn't say that. Like most of us, they didn't say that. The end of verse 35, they said, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? Now he knows all things. He already knew what was in their heart. But he asked them, what would ye that I should do for you? You know, we ought to be very careful what we ask for. He might give it to us. And we don't know what's best for us. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. This flesh does not naturally know what to ask God for, so we pray, thy will be done. But verse 37 says, they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. They said, we acknowledge that you are the king. The throne is your throne. But they said, could we have a seat on either side of you? When the places are being established, could you pick us to sit right next to you? We want to sit right next to you. Now look with me, if you would, over in John chapter 14. I want to show you here in John 14 that our Lord did say in verse 13, John 14, verse 13, he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, what is his name? His name is Savior. Call his name Jesus. It means Savior. Lord, because you are the Savior, would you have mercy on me? Because you are merciful, would you show it to me? Lord, would you put me in Christ? I want to be in Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. James said, you draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. Truly draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. But James and John coming to the Lord and asking this question, our Lord knew their hearts. He knew their motive in this. He knew that they're wanting to sit right next to Him. Lord, could we be on each side of you? He knew they were not drawing nigh to God. And He told them back in the text, back in Mark chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. You don't know what you're asking. You don't understand how far that motive will take a soul away from me. People have it in their mind, they are asking things in God's name, asking things for themselves in God's name, which in reality, many are just asking things for themselves. Not in the name of Christ, not in the glory of Christ, for the glory of Christ. Truly, if they get honest, it's for their own glory. Jeremiah wrote, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not. Our Lord said right here in verse 38, you know not what you ask. He said, can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? He's talking about the sacrifice of Himself. Everything He described to them concerning His own death, He just described all that to them. And He said, are you going to drink out of the same cup of suffering that I am going to drink out of? Are you going to be immersed into the same wrath of God that I'm going to be immersed into? You want to sit with me? He said, can you suffer with me? Verse 39, and they said unto Him, we can. They were speaking ignorantly. Ignorantly. He said, you don't know what you're asking. They were speaking ignorantly because at this time they did not even understand His death. They didn't understand His death when He died. They all said, we're going back to fishing. He's gone. It was not until God gave the gift of the Holy Ghost that Peter said, you know, everything He did was the fulfillment of Scripture. He died to redeem Israel. We see that now. But even though they said this in ignorance, they still spoke our gospel. Verse 39, they said unto Him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall you be baptized. All of your suffering is going to take place when I suffer. That's what He told them. You are going to suffer that wrath. You are going to be immersed into the wrath of God because of your sin, but you're going to be immersed in me. Verse 40, He said, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Our Lord is about to teach them, and He's about to teach us, humility. And He's going to start by teaching us through His own example. He said, that's not mine to give. The Father has prepared all of that. I'll wait on Him. That's what He's saying. Verse 31, "And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John." Why were they so upset with James and John? It's because they all wanted the exact same thing. All of them. And they were mad. Because James and John beat them to it. If they didn't have the same heart of wickedness that James and John had, they would have been happy for them. "Yes, you guys sit up there. We'll just sit down here." Oh, our Lord said, "This flesh fights for the chief seats." This flesh loves the chief seats, loves the glory of them. God brings His people to a knowledge of the truth. He does. But this flesh is still working. It is still warring. God's people know the truth. God's people, by faith, have seen the Savior. God's people know that salvation is not in their hands. It's all in His hands. And if we are God's people, we look to Him. But this flesh still says, "Can I be your number two? Can I be your go-to man?" This flesh says, "Now, wait a minute. That other fellow over there, that other follower, he seems to be getting a leg up on me. I don't like that. God seems to be blessing him more than he's blessing me. I don't like that. I don't like that at all." Verse 41, "And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be among you." It's not going to be that way among my people. He said, "But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He said, "I came to start and finish the work for my people." Now our Lord is teaching them, and he's teaching us, where the greatest place to sit is. This whole account is over where are we going to sit? How do I stack up in this? And our Lord told them, your priorities are all wrong. You have it all wrong. You're looking to the wrong thing. Now, for the next few minutes, I want to just go through the Scriptures. We're going to turn to a few Scriptures. And through these Scriptures, I pray that the Lord might reveal to us where the greatest place to sit is. I pray He might truly burn into our hearts where the highest honor is. The first one is in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 says, "One of the Pharisees desired the Lord that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this man that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. This woman came to the feet of Jesus Christ. All of her object was the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of her motive was love for the Master. And her humility, it didn't bring her up to his cheek. Judas, when he came to the Lord, in his arrogance, in his sin, he came straight to the cheek of the Lord. He told that mob, You're going to know him. I'm going to kiss him. He walked right up to him and kissed him on the cheek. But this woman, in her humility, she came to his feet. And she was highly honored. She was highly favored by the Master. What a place to be. That place is a place of favor and honor. His feet. His feet. In Luke chapter 8, verse 26 says, They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw that was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They were afraid. Here, this man who was a raging lunatic, I mean a rebel against everything, As soon as that man was brought to the feet of Jesus Christ, he sat down. He rested there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, completely clothed and in his right mind. When we stand before God, do you know what we want to be? We want to be clothed. We want to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We want to be in our right mind. That mind of God's repentance, knowing who God is, knowing who we are, knowing what salvation is. We want to be clothed in the blood and righteousness of Christ. And do you know where that robe is awarded? At the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here in Luke chapter 8, verse 41 says, "Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." He went to ask the Lord to heal his daughter who was dying. Did Jairus get what he came for? You know, if we need the blessing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we need him desperately, do you know where we need to come? We need to come to his feet. When we come before him crying and begging for our children, we need to fall prostrate at his feet. Verse 49 right here in Luke chapter 8 says, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Verse 54 says, "He put them all out. He took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat." You know where a sinner can find help in time of need? Right there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there at the feet of Christ. If you're turning with me, look two more pages over at Luke 10. Right here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, "It came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." If we want to hear from God, do you know where we're going to hear from him? Sitting at his feet. Oh, the blessing that comes from hearing from him, hearing his voice, hearing him speak to us. That comes from sitting at his feet. That's where it comes. Sitting at his feet. Over in Luke 17, I'll give you a few more. Luke 17, verse 11, it says, "It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." If we want to glorify God, do you know where we do that? At the feet of Jesus Christ, That's where God is glorified, at the feet of Jesus Christ. If we truly want to give Him thanks, oh Lord, thank You. Thank You for cleansing us. Thank You for making us whole. All of that thanks is given at His feet. Here's why. Over in Luke 24, verse 36, now this is after our Lord has risen and the disciples are assembled together. It says in Luke 24, 36, our Lord came into the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold My hands and My feet. Behold My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see Me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. He said, You get a good look at My hands and at My feet. God's people, God's children, believers, true worshipers, true followers, they want to become well acquainted with the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of the One who has brought glad tidings. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of Christ that led Him all the way up to that cross. There's a song that says, Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn. How beautiful are the feet. I'm going to close with this one over in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, verse 12, John is speaking, and he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Can we think of an account in the Word of God where a furnace was burning? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got to know one pretty well, didn't they? Nebuchadnezzar threw those three men in there, and he looked inside that furnace, and he said, Now, wait a minute, didn't we throw three men? He said, I see four walking, and one is like unto the Son of God. Right here, John said, I saw His feet, His beautiful feet, and they looked like they burned in a furnace. They looked like He endured the fiery furnace for me. If a sinner ever sees that, he will fall down before Christ, crying, Thine be the glory. Away with mine own glory. I don't want my own seat. I found my seat sitting right here at the feet of Christ. That's the greatest place to sit. Whoever sits in that seat will be told the same thing Mary was told. It won't be taken from you. May God give us that seat.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.